If you want to join with me in the reading of God's Word, I invite you to open your Bibles or click on your tablets to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. We have four gospel writers who all provide testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read the second gospel's witness from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look. There is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. And there you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. I want to share with you an Easter declaration. Hallelujah. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. May this declaration resound not only in these walls or through computer screens, but touch the lives of all who meet and forever be the truth of which we speak. Your love, once sown within a garden, tended for your own people, neglected and rejected, now spreads its sweet perfume in this place and wherever it is shown. Hallelujah. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. On April 16th, 2006, I stood right here up on this stage. It looks a lot different. But I stood in this very place, this very space, and I preached what would be my first Easter sermon of any church that I have ever been a part of. This was my first Easter sermon as a servant minister here at this church. Prior to that moment, I served this church as the minister of youth and worship. But in April 2006, I stood up in this pulpit as a preaching minister. I remember that I was completing my first sermon series. I had preached a sermon series through the Gospel of Mark called The Jesus Reality. The title of my sermon on that Sunday was Finishing the Story. And I preached from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And over the past week, I have tried to locate that sermon in written form or audio form, and I cannot find that sermon anywhere. I believe Perry told me that he lost a whole year worth of sermons, you know, because of a computer crash or something. Cannot find that sermon. I have no clue what I said, what words I preached, or what images I used, what stories I used to illustrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I do know that it had to do something connected with our story as the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ. I can say this, that based on the text that I just read, I probably touched on the tension in the Gospel of Mark, the tension that's presented at the end of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. You see, the resurrection story in Mark, it ends abruptly. And it appears to be incomplete. And that's why many of your Bibles, you'll see that it says this is the original ending of Mark. And then it goes to verse 9 and says it's another ending. Then it goes 10 to verse 20 and it says an even longer ending. the ending of Mark reads like this. And again, it sounds kind of incomplete. So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What do we do with the ending of that story, that resurrection story? That was the question I think I posed some 14 years ago. The disciples in the ending of Mark were gripped with fear. They were afraid. And so perhaps I posed the question, Will we respond in like fashion? Will we respond to the story of the resurrection with fear? And will we say nothing to no one? Will our response to the resurrection keep us from speaking out or living out our faith? Will we keep silent, or will we shout this message, this truth, from mountaintops? Will we share this miracle of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Now, fast forward 14 years into the future, and here I am standing in the same place. I preached a resurrection sermon at age 31. My birthday was about 5 days later, not about exactly 5 days later. I'm a little older, a lot grayer, a little bit wiser, probably not that much smarter, and I weigh a little bit less than I did in 2006. Nonetheless, I will assert from the very beginning of this lesson, this sermon, that Jesus Christ was sent here to earth, to planet earth, by the Father to minister to people. And he served the people. He cared for the people. He loved the people. He was sent to give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and release to the prisoners and those who were oppressed. He was crucified, and he died, and he was buried. And on the third day, Jesus Christ, with the power of God's Spirit, rose from the grave, and God made him alive, and he has now ascended to heaven, where he now stands currently reigning alongside the Father. That is truth. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, you need to hear this, that Jesus Christ is alive. He arose. He is risen indeed, and that's why we sing hallelujah. For the miracle of the resurrection, we give high praise to God. And I say this in this current season of uncertainty and pandemic, that Jesus Christ is alive. You see, uncertainty tried to make us think that we wouldn't be able to celebrate the resurrection today. But the resurrection is no less powerful if we can't meet in a church building. The resurrection is no less powerful if we aren't wearing our pastel colors, even though I have mine on right now. The resurrection is no less powerful in an age of social distancing. The resurrection is no less powerful during a toilet paper and hand sanitizer shortage. The resurrection is no less powerful during a time where people feel like their freedoms have been compromised, or their movements limited, or their bank accounts are draining. The resurrection is no less powerful during a season where experts, government officials, and politicians and regular people have more questions than answers. The resurrection is still a powerful event that can't be erased by any pandemic, any chaos, any war, or any other devastating ideal that comes across. You see, we may find ourselves in 2020 with some questions, and I say with confidence that questions are okay. They're all right. And I say with a growing faith that Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, provides answers to a lot of our questions. In 1957, Dr. Martin Luther King preached an Easter sermon where he said this, and I quote, "Above all, Easter provides answers to the deepest queries of the human spirit. Easter symbolizes an event that provides answers to questions that have puzzled the probing minds of philosophers and theologians over the generations. You raise basic questions about the universe and about life and about all of the mysteries attached to it. And the Christian faith comes back confirming in words that echo across the generations that Easter has the answer." So to all the questions that have emerged over the past 2 months and during this season of quarantine and social distance, how does Easter give answers? For some of us, the answer we have received is that when we are bored, we will eat a lot. Now, I don't know about you all, but I've been back and forth to the refrigerator more times than I can number. I saw someone who posted a meme that says, "I have eaten 11 times, I've taken 5 naps, and it's still today." For some of us, the answer might be, "I can go 3 months without a haircut." For me, I believe that in a couple more weeks, I'm going to have that Morgan Freeman look. For some of us, we have learned our friends' favorite movies or their favorite bands, their top 5 bands, or you've learned a new dance on social media, on TikTok, or a new prank to pull on your friends. But these answers seem inadequate in response to the questions that arise out of our faith story. Church, for the past several weeks, including the weeks during our COVID-19 pandemic, I have been calling the church to get some things trending. I began a sermon series before we had the stay-at-home orders called Trending. And I've called for us to get some things trending during this season of Lent, not just refraining from different things, but also including and involving ourselves in life-giving practices. The first week, I called for us to get Jesus trending. Jesus said, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love as I have loved you. People will know that you are my disciples, my followers, by your love for one another. So I called for us to get Jesus trending by loving as Jesus loved, because the world will know we belong to Jesus by our love for one another. And one of the best ways to get the name of Jesus trending is to do the love thing. And then I preached a sermon called Be Nice. I called for us to go out of our way to be kind and to be nice to one another. And then the pandemic really hit. We had to cancel our worship services. And so it was on a Facebook Live from my office that I called for us to be still, called for us to listen to God, to listen for Him, to slow down and to allow Him to reassure us that He is in control. Be still. I called for us the following week about doing life together and that seeing if we could get hashtag better together to start trending. I called for us to put our faith completely and wholly in God the next week and call for us to get Be Adventurous trending. Again, what can we as the body of Christ get trending? You see, like Abraham, who was called to go to an unknown land. We seem to be in a season of the unknown, but God calls us to follow Him by faith in this land of questions and unknowns. And then last week, we were called to let go. Stop trying to fix everything and acknowledge God's sovereignty and control. There are so many things that we just simply cannot control. And so why bother with trying to control the things that we can't control? Let's get let go trending. Today, on Resurrection Sunday 2020, I am imploring the Church of Christ to get hashtag overcoming trending. That's right. I want us to take a cue from the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the greatest answer it provides. Knowing that the resurrection answers the question regarding self-worth. Because Christ lived, we have self-worth and purpose. Knowing that the resurrection answers the question about our brokenness and sin. Because Christ lives, we have a solution to the sin problem. Christ offers grace and forgiveness and healing in his name. Knowing that the resurrection answers the questions about things and circumstances in our lives that appear dead and useless. Well, because Christ lives, there is a hope that abounds in the graveyard of our ideals and circumstances. He is resurrecting lives. He is resurrecting purposes. He is resurrecting meaning. He is resurrecting relationships. Christ's resurrection is helping us answer a lot of questions. And because we know that Christ's resurrection is helping us to address and answer all of these questions, we can boldly proclaim that in the name of Jesus, we are overcoming. We will overcome. We will overcome this illness. That is, this illness will not override the power of Christ's resurrection. This virus may impact physical lives and physical distance, but it will not break the Holy Spirit of God. And so, even in the midst of sickness and peril and disease and uncertainty, we will overcome. Our declaration today is that we will emerge out of this season like we have emerged out of other seasons of disaster and misfortune and poverty and disease and war and chaos. We sing a song of overcoming. This is how we are going to finish the rest of the story. Let's get overcoming trending. Let's get ready to tell stories. Let's get ready, church, to tell stories. Stories of how our faith was strengthened. Stories of how our relationships were enriched. Stories of how our perspectives grew. Stories of how our finances survived. Stories of how our love for one another just continued to explode. Stories of how our neighborhoods flourished. Stories of how God's name was glorified. Stories of how we connected to God. Stories of how we connected to people. Stories of how we connected to purpose. Stories of how we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We repeat in faith words that were written by John in the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren have been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him." They overcame the evil one because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. Even when faced with death, the people of God have a story of overcoming. So let's get overcoming trending. You see, we overcame. We have overcome. We will overcome. Some of your translations say triumph. Some of your translations say conquered. They all mean we win. We all are victorious because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. We are going to overcome. In that Easter sermon that I referred to earlier, preached by Dr. King, he said, "Easter asserts that man's extremity is God's opportunity. It affirms that what stops us does not stop God. And that miracle is as much a part of the end as of the beginning. I love that line. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Our declaration of overcoming has very little to do with our doing and everything to do with what God has done, everything that God is doing, and everything that God will do. You see, in 2020, there's no better place to reflect on God's activity than with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So let's prepare ourselves on this Easter 2020 to get overcoming trending. Let's get ready to tell our story. No doubt some of us will experience some loss and tragedy. Some of us may even get sick. Some of us might even die. But death will not rob us of our story. It will not rob us of our victory. It will not rob us of our triumph. We are overcomers. We will overcome. We are overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I can tell you, years ago, when I preached my first Easter sermon, I envisioned preaching an Easter sermon every year to a crowd of people in this room, dressed nice, Easter baskets, and all that comes with the season. I never envisioned preaching to an empty room and you watching me on a screen. But let me tell you, that circumstance, this present circumstance, doesn't lessen the resurrection story one iota. Jesus Christ is still alive. Jesus Christ is still writing our stories. And Jesus Christ is still fueling us to be overcomers. I'm going to share a video with you. Pray that it will be a blessing to you and a continued encouragement on this Resurrection Sunday.